Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter, and a broker here at StoneX. I specialize in the grain and oil seed markets, but me and my team also work in energy and dairy, interest rates, currencies, and we have specialists throughout the group that deal with it the same way I do on grains and oil seeds. So if you have any questions for us, please let me know. If you're a client here, you can always call, email, or text. My number, my phone number at the desk is 312-706-7610. You can email me at craig.turner@stonex.com. Clients will have my cell phone. They can call or text. And if you're interested in working with us, feel free to give the desk, the office line a call or shoot me an email. If you like the podcast, please go to iTunes and give us a positive review. And you can check out the show notes for a link to the newsletter. And let's get into it. So, macro markets first. We take a look into, what's going on with the Fed. They're expecting the next meeting to have another quarter point hike and then stop for a while. Inflation has eased. I think it's around 5% now. Employment, unemployment's low. The economy's sputtering along. In the last Federal Reserve minutes from their last meeting, there are people who are now concerned about a recession, and that recession happening sooner rather than later. There was one comment that it could be imminent. We're seeing that in, the labor markets. Even though unemployment stayed low, you read a lot about these layoffs happening. I'm not too sure how that's being accounted for, but especially within the technology sector, there has been a lot of people unfortunately let go, which is probably more to do, has just as much to do maybe with slowing of the economy, but also the ramp up that we saw in some of those companies during the COVID years, because so much was done online, and now we're kind of reversing trend there in that too. When we do have an economic slowdown, that certainly can affect commodity prices, and we'll get into that in a second. But if the Fed is going to keep rates the same after this next one, and then see how things go, the dollar has been in, has been lower as it deserves to be. And you got to wonder if that trend's going to continue, where we'll see the US dollar get weaker, maybe like the Canadian particularly get stronger. I wouldn't be surprised to see that if that's how this all plays out. The euro, I would think, would get a little bit stronger too. I mean, recently here, the Canadian's gotten weaker after kind of having a little bit of run up. But if the Fed holds rates for a while, I would think that the Canadian can make a run at 80, high 70s or 80 eventually, once the Fed makes that announcement, if that's what they do. And then with the euro, we're about 110, and we're showing some strength here. Again, wouldn't be surprised if the euro continues to, to be, gain on the USD a little bit too, just because of that. Same for the British pound. So we will see how that works. But if the U.S., that's the thing. If the Federal Reserve says, okay, one more quarter increase, and then we'll stay for a while, which is the speculation right now, and for good reason, that's going to stabilize currency prices too, and could even start to reverse. When it comes to, let's go to the energy markets, then we'll finish with the grain. Taking a look at the energy markets, crude had gone up. We got these summer months coming. We should see some demand. It's not like we're producing oil at record pace or anything like that. And demand's been, has been okay. Every time the crude oil drops below 70, we've seen OPEC come in and make cuts. I think that's going to be the same. I think OPEC, my personal opinion, is OPEC keeps on making cuts when we get close to 70 to support prices. They've said they've done that. They've done it a few times now. I think you have to take them at their word, you know, when it comes to this subject. And, you know, if the United States needs to buy for the SPR, Strategic Petroleum Reserve, then I would think they got to get on board and do it in the low 70s too. So I do, you know, now can you break through 80? It's very difficult to break through 80, live there, and keep on going higher without real, honest to goodness, economic growth. And it seems like we have to go through this recession first. So to me, for now, crude is still range bound. If I'm a buyer of crude, maybe I'm doing a collar. Like, you know I need to buy it and I'm happy to sell like a floor. You know, a 70 put would be a floor in this example, you know, with someone who needs to buy energy or crude. And then maybe the, you know, the call side would be like the 80 or, you know, 85 or something like that, where you're kind of managing your risk, where you know you're going to be paying for fuel in between 70 and 85, and you're happy to set a floor just in case this thing takes off. Those are the kind of strategies anyone who is a, listen, and this is probably everybody, anyone who needs to buy energy, because 1,000 barrels of crude converts into 42,000 barrels of fuel. Now, whether that be diesel or heating oil, you know, RBOB gasoline, you know, but that, you know, those kind of, you know, those prices tend to go up and down together, but some more, you know, than the others. Like in the summer, we'll see RBOB probably, you know, you tend to see RBOB go up harder than heating oil. In the winter, that'd be the opposite, right? So, you know, we'll see how that goes, but that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, and then the crude is a 70 to 85 market until something fundamentally changes in the macro economy. You know, natural gas, it's interesting. The front months, I mean, we're in the low twos. This is a shoulder month. We usually don't have a lot of demand. We'll probably hang around this $2 range while we're in this part of the calendar. You start looking out though to, you know, let's take a look at the summer months. It doesn't take much. Let's see where we are. You know, June's at 240, July's at 260. You know, we get into October, we're at 270. You know, you get to December, natural gas in December is $3.70 or $3.65. Meanwhile, the spot price is 222. So is the market telling us we're able to export more? We just have that much more demand in the winter because of, you know, because the heating that natural gas provides. That certainly could be it. But $1.40 over, you know, and you know, $1.40 is a big deal, especially when you're only at 220 on the spot market. Almost it's more than 50% higher. I mean, if we're at 222 right now, a 50% higher increase would put us at 330. And we're at 360, so it's over double. I mean, it's over 50%, it's like 60%. So that's interesting. That's very interesting. You know, see what's going on in the natural gas market. But that's where we are in the energy markets. It's all about demand and economic growth. And right now, we don't have it. So it's hard to be bullish on energy. Do I think energy prices eventually do go up? I mean, the answer to that is just when does this actual recession come? When does the economy recover? And, you know, and how long will it last? You know, when we do go into recession, let's say it's middle end of this year. I mean, is it shallow and long? Is it quick and short? Is it somewhere in between? I will say this, though. This is probably the longest anticipated recession that I can ever remember. We feel like we've been talking about this thing for over a year now. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But this is by far, I mean, I can only go back to remembering, you know, reading the papers in the mid-80s. But just, you know, between now and the mid-80s, I just don't remember ever having some kind of anticipation countdown waiting for a recession like this one. So I don't know. Maybe it'll be more of maybe we're seeing more sell the fact, hopefully by the rumor. But just my thoughts there on that. I think with natural gas buying the Buying the back months are a little bit tough just because of the huge carry in it. But, you know, you can't just always kind of buy and roll because you're always going to be losing money, you know, doing the buy and roll too. So I'm going to guess options are probably the best way to go to attack the natural gas market if you got to go out. Collars, you know, might be a good way to do it. If I'm a big purchaser of natural gas or something linked to natural gas, and that could be fertilizer, that could be energy, it could be heating, a whole bunch of different things. All right, then let's get into the grain markets here. We had a nice big sell-off in the grain markets on, this is April 21st, and basically, you know, a couple of things happened, but I think the big thing that spooked the market right here is this talk of could Brazil import corn and soybeans into the United States. And we're hearing some rumors of it. I mean, there is, you know, in the southeast part of the United States and, you know, some of the, you know, where there's a lot of feed for chicken, poultry down there, we have seen in the past, you know, exports coming into the southeast of the United States. So it will cap prices around there. You know, can it get to the interior through the Gulf? I doubt it. There's some pretty strict rules about soybeans and the soybeans for renewable biodiesel. I don't think the beans coming in from Brazil are going to qualify for that. So maybe soybeans is kind of a moot point on this. But the corn is real. I mean, there will be corn coming into the southeast U.S. Due to the high prices. Now, Brazil had a huge crop and they will need to put, you know, send more into Argentina. But there would, you know, but. And there will be logistical issues and delays in getting that out. And I think what we'll continue to see is one of these things where the spreads like May versus July corn keeps on widening. And then when May comes off the board, wouldn't be surprised if July versus Sep keeps on widening. But the idea of the flat price, you know, being steady or at least being supportive, we'll have to see how that works, especially in a dynamic where we're tight in old crop corn, wheat and soybeans. And then for new crop projections, we're actually expected to transition to a more adequate market in corn and in soft red winter wheat, which would be Chicago. Things still look tight for soybeans year over year. They still look tight for the high protein wheat, Kansas City and Minneapolis. Time will tell. We got a drought going on in our, in the United States, Western Belt, kind of Southern Plains and Plains area. That is hard red winter wheat country. Farmers I talk to over there are not bullish on the prospects of a good crop. You know, there are farmers in Kansas that don't think this corn and soybeans are going to go in because they've just barely had any rain and it's just very dry. And you talk to some farmers even in Illinois, you know, where, you know, soil moisture is okay, but if you really get deep in there to the subsoil moisture, they don't have a whole lot of confidence in what's, you know, what's there. So weather patterns will get better. That does seem clear as we transferred out of a La Nina into a more neutral pattern, maybe even eventually El Nino. And we should see better weather, but you know, it's already April 21st. We got to start planting this stuff. We've had a little setbacks after getting on track, and still the Western Belt's going to be an issue. It's still going to be hot and dry. We're not going to know what the real yields are on that Kansas City winter wheat crop, you know, until we get into harvest, and we're already tight. Keep in mind, you know, the big winter wheat crop out of Ukraine is hard red winter wheat, you know, the equivalent of Kansas City. Russia has a massive spring wheat crop every year, and they're seeing dryness. And also, even if they grow it, it's hard for them to get out. You know, with the soft red winter wheat, which is that Chicago wheat on the Eastern Belt, we increased acres this year by 15%, and we have seen more double crop soybeans with wheat, which makes sense just based on the economics. So in the wheat market, it's going to be interesting. We're going to have this lower protein wheat, which will probably sag against the higher protein wheat. As far as market direction of flat price futures, you know, on the days where it's all about old crop, we'll go higher. On the days where it's about new crop, we'll go lower. We've seen that kind of pattern before. Today was definitely a lower day and towards the end of the week. And I think that had a lot to do with prices got so high that, you know, we are hearing about possibilities of Brazilian imports and why it makes sense. You know, corn at one point went up 70 cents here in the past 6 weeks. Went from like 610 to 670 or something. Yeah, or right around there. You know, the May-July spread blew out to 40, you know, to 40 cents over. Like, you don't see May trading over July 40 cents over unless there's a real shortage, real tightness in that market. Where did we see? It's 12:30 on a Friday here. Where is that May July spread right now as we head into the weekend? Yeah, it's up 10 cents. It's up at 47. I mean, and this is as these corn is down 8 to 5.49. And, you know, bear with me for here a second. Just had to hit my quote board, you know, and let's see where the other corn is. You know, Dece is at, let's say, 5.49. July is at 6.13. May is at 6.60. I mean, listen, there's a, and the, I think the big question is, what happens to July? Once May goes into delivery, which is going to happen here in about 9 or 10 days, last business day of April, what happens with that July contract? I think it starts to get bought. I think because it becomes the new cash market. So, because of the new cash contract. So I see kind of, I see some support for July at 6.10, just in, you know, unless the talk of these imports are real. But other than the Southeast United States, hard, you know, it's kind of more of like a seeing is believing. I don't know how much they can get into the Southeast United States, but that is definitely, you know, worth looking. So if I am, you know, a farmer here, you're probably using rallies above 550 to sell new crop corn, 560, 570, 575, get something on the books. If you are, and most farmers don't have old crop, and they've sold most of that old crop off, you could use this break for, you know, buying, you know, basically buying corn. I mean, July, somewhere around $6, some kind of futures or options play, limited risk, just in case we have weather issues. And if those imports from Brazil don't come and you get a repeat of what happened with the May contract, it's interesting. That's an interesting play. I know some of the, you know, anyone who asked me questions on the buy side, if there's any, you know, people who have to buy corn for various reasons, you know, my advice has been, you can kind of toe your water in new crop, but you really want to be covered for old crop. And listen, old crop could keep on coming down, but you know, the thing is, like, we don't know when you're that tight, when that May July corn spread is that tight and that basis is so strong, you just don't know how much corn's out there and who still needs it. I mean, clearly the market is screaming, I mean, absolutely screaming at the top of its lungs to bring more corn into the market. Otherwise, May wouldn't be trading 47 cents over July. And on a day where July is down 12 and December is down 8, May is only down 2 cents, right? Soybeans are down 20 cents. Wheat's down 20 cents. You're having huge moves, and May corn is barely budging, and the new crops in the May July spread is up 10 cents today. So, I mean, to me, there's a short-term shortage, and really what the dynamic of the market becomes now is, how long is old crop in a shortage until new crop can come in and turn stocks from basically tight stocks, a tight stock market, to an adequately supplied market. For beans, I kind of don't see that happening. I mean, at 87.5 million acres and the trend line yield, our carryout goes from like 220 to 270. I mean, we're still in the 200s. We're still in a 5%. We go from a 4% stock to usage to a 6% stock to usage. I mean, something like that with beans. Beans seems like they'll be, I mean, seems like we'll be somewhat elevated. We may not be at these prices, but somewhat elevated. And then on the wheat side, you know, while soft red winter wheat is going to definitely improve their ending stocks because they increased acres by 15%, and they've had a good start, good weather, good soil conditions. The Western Corn Belt's in drought, and we didn't plant enough acres in the Northern Plains for spring wheat. You know, Canada still got to plant 24 million acres or so, with a decent yield just to keep things the same. So high protein, and clearly the Kansas City wheat's in trouble. So we got a high, we may have a year over year high protein wheat issue. we may have a transition into adequate stocks for soft red winter wheat, the lower protein. And corn's the major wild card at 92 million acres and a 181 yield. We blow out to 1.8, 1.9 billion on the ending stocks, maybe even 2 billion. That's a 12, 13% stock to usage. That's an adequately supplied corn market, right? Do we get there? I mean, I'm not sold on 92 million acres right now after, you know, 3 weeks of April and how dry it is out west and some of the conversations I've had and also some of the conditions up north. But we'll see. And, you know, a 181 trend line yield, which is, you know, that'd be the trend line and it would break a record by 4 bushels. I'm not saying it can't happen. Then eventually you do hit the trend line even after you have a couple of bad years, because even though the, you know, you had the weather's been tough, the technology still advances year over year. So, I mean, I can buy it, but we're a long way from that. And I will just say this too. If we're 1 or 2 million acres short on corn for 90 or 91 million, and instead of having a record-breaking 181 yield, we have a tie the old record of 177, you know, we're kind of where we started. We're on this borderline of adequate to tight stocks again. And, you know, maybe new crop then is at $6. Waiting for the next crop to come in. But the risk for corn right now is certainly old crop. There is room for error in new crop corn. Well, there's not a whole lot of room for error in new crop soybeans and the high protein wheat. So, you know, whether your exposure is to the upside or the downside, act accordingly. And if you need some help, that's why I'm here. We help, you know, we give the analysis, we have the commentary, give your ideas where we think the market's going, and then we try to help you in your, you know, your business and your interests as much as possible after that. So again, if you have any questions for me, you want to work with us, or your client here and you heard something you want to go over, my number at the trade desk is 312-706-7610. My email is craig.turner@stonex.com. And you can always, if you're a client, you should have my cell phone. If not, let me know. I'll send it to you. You can always call or text myself. All right, everyone, this is about 20 minutes in. Hope everyone has a great weekend, and we will talk next week. Thanks for listening. Feel free to drop a line anytime.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels Trading Broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors, such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.